Before we get into the episode, I've got a question for you guys. What's your top beast transformations across media? I'm talking books, movies, TV shows, whatever you find like. If you like Animorphs, if you love Bloody Roar, think in these veins, all right? Let us know in the comments. Get us at our email. Thank you guys so much. Check out the episode. I'm out.
So you're saying that because Eddie Murphy was Donkey, these are more incriminating roles than the dress situation, and that if anybody had a problem, they should dress
these. It's a different degree of buffoonery that I'm like, why are y'all cool with that?
But there it is, right there. That word right there, right? I don't think. What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token coming at you again with another episode, or at least a bit of an episode. You know, recording is interesting, man. Y'all saw the adorable post. You know, shout out to my baby online. You know, again, we're trying to make shit happen for you guys, as always, or sometimes, almost never, always. My brother is here. Say what up to the people, bro.
What up, young man? What up?
What's good?
We back off the deployment.
Back again.
I'm sure there's bonus content out there. This is not the first time we've tried to record this episode. Let's
no, this is gonna be again a interesting dive into my content creator life. You know, we were 4 years deep trying to get in there. I thought I had a groove, and now I gotta make a new groove, you know, because again, partial recordings might be a thing from time to time. It's like blam, we'll take this part and then we'll edit it in this part so that we can, yeah. So you never know. I might have a different shirt on and he might have a different shirt on. I mean, he was really continuatively aware for wearing the same shirt. I appreciate you, bro. But yeah, I was like,
nigga wore the same short. Your shirt, it is what it is.
Nah, my baby,
we are boy, going to see how that plays out. But for now, just pretend like this is a separate episode entirely. Like this is the first time the niggas seen you for, you know, however long.
Oh, of course. Duh. I mean, hey guys, this is the first time we got out here. Is that nicotine,
nigga? Yeah, nigga. I zen every now and again.
I thought you were fucking playing with a goddamn thing of icebreakers. That looks like a thing of icebreakers.
No. This is for children. No, no, it's not.
Because, I mean, it is.
However,
white.
It does give you a light nicotine fix when you need one. These are 3 millis because I'm a bitch, and you know, every now and again I do 6. Anyway,
shout out smoking cessation. Cessation of smoking is always.
To Mark Maron, actually, he was the first nigga to put me on a nicotine gum. I was like, that nigga makes nicotine gum sound so great. He's like, I have our coffee, and then I have a nicotine gum. It's so great. I'm like, I bet I can do that. I cannot do that. I still smoke.
No, nicotine gum still gives me too much of a fucking rush. It's a weird thing. That's not a very good delivery system for me and nicotine. It just don't. It does not do well. Am I supposed to swallow the gum? Is that a bad thing? I don't like gum.
I know last episode, like not even last episode, but last time we tried to record, you actually talked about how you hadn't smoked in forever. And I'm like, yeah. Wow, I'm really glad for you. I'm really proud of you for that.
Yeah, shout out.
I genuinely am like really glad that you haven't smoked and that you haven't like touched the shit for real. Like, yeah, I see like you smoke weed and you still hit the vape, but
I still do.
Smoking is a lot.
Yeah, no, I ramped up smoking cigarettes and then I quit smoking cigarettes. And then I was like, well, you know, I mean, so by the time my child was getting ready to be born, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be a fucking cigarette smoking dad. Like, I might be a vape dad for a while. I might be like, I'm definitely going to be a weed dad. That's just going to be a thing. I don't know if CPS wants to hear that. But
hopefully they never hear it.
I was like, shout out to you. Please don't wrap me up. I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I knew I was going to be that, but like never really like dad's got to go take a smoke break type situation. Like I just didn't really feel like that was going to be like beneficial. No, I mean, not like it was ever detrimental.
To be fair, and I ain't trying to be that type of nigga because I know that like last time I seen Pops all that time ago, and I mean like, starting heavy out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's deep. We've been a while. It's been
sick. You know, I mean, I remember like last time Pops was in Maryland at the crib or whatever. He was like, oh, man, I just thought about smoking a cigarette. I'm like, damn, I sympathize with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I don't know if you like ever feel that or whatever. Like, oh, this is like a cigarette.
Oh, no, absolutely. There definitely have been times where I'm like, oh, no, that would be great for a cigarette. And then I go find a vape. There's the moments in the house where I can't find my fucking vape, baby. I need to. I don't know where it is. I would love to have it. Can I please? Can I go
gotta
get
have
one?
That thing on you, man. Gotta have that thing on you.
At the same time, I try to do like days or moments where I don't. Like I'll find those the desire to go and find some nicotine and like, okay, look, let me distract myself. So I'll be like, okay, kid, we're gonna play a number game or some shit like that. You know, we're gonna try to fucking we're gonna listen
it's
to
crazy because I talked party. To the nigga yesterday and he don't speak English, so I don't know what not, the fuck you talking about. So let's play the number game. Like nigga not giving you numbers back.
He's not giving me numbers back, but I'm trying to give him numbers so he understands more. Like, you know, the thing is right now, yeah, he's all babbling shit like that. But like he's slowly but surely cognitively forming shit. Like I see him.
The nigga is smart. I'm not gonna hold you. Like I'm talking, like not talking, but I see the nigga and I'm like, oh, you know, I think he got like a brain in him.
Yeah, no, he's pretty aware. Like he's really catching it as far as getting. I mean, everybody sucks the dick of their own child, you know, like with
for sure. And I mean, like, you know what I mean? I've had nephews, you know what I mean? Like, I got my nephews already, but I wasn't like an adult when, you know,
when they were born and shit. Like, I was a kid still with most of the young people around now. And like,
to see Trey going through what he's going through, I'm like, oh, okay, I can kind of see him connecting the dots.
Yeah. You know the puzzle pieces are slowly, surely fitting together. And it's pretty crazy. Like, I can see him understanding some things on TV. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, this is just colors and shit like that. So like sometimes when I'm watching an anime and the shit get gory, I'm like, oh wait.
Like, yeah, I don't know why I should show my dog this.
Yeah, like
do
so
you feel compelled to like protect him from certain shit or like
are you like there are moments where I do. Yeah, absolutely. Like usually I'm like, no, like I want him to be pretty open, but like
it's bitch ass time, nigga.
I'm just saying
we ain't were about watching, that life for real.
We were really watching Naruto, nigga. Like me and this nigga were like locked in, like very much having a great time. We got to Shippuden. And suddenly shit got
like Shippuden better than Shippuden.
Shippuden.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Shippuden. Okay. Yeah. The second half of Naruto, shit got real. I was like, damn, Asuma's dead. And this nigga, Hidan, is really trying to slice the motherfucker up. And suddenly I'm like, maybe not. And that was the first time I was like, maybe we don't. And then I'm like, damn, shit get real sad in this motherfucking half of the season. This is not a kid show. Let's watch Fairy Tale, kiddo.
You think that's better? I mean, I don't know. And I know we, like in the bonus episode that may or may not ever come out, we briefly talked about like Fairy Tale, but like, I don't know.
These are just things that, I mean, here's the deal. I was looking for things that were like, it's anime, it's shit that I want to check out and shit that I want to see, shit that I can review again, like in my brain for like, whether or not I continue to introduce this shit to him for like, at all. And I mean, I started with Dragon Ball, right? Not once did I feel like, oh, we shouldn't be watching this, right? Like, even like I was watching Kai, so we went from Kai to Super. We watched all the shit, and the thing is the colors and sounds made him happy. It was pretty good. He does growl a lot. That is a thing that he does now. He's like, ah, like
heard it.
It's kind of a thing, and I'm like, I think that's Dragon Ball. Actually,
be Dragon Ball. It could be Baby. I don't know. Who knows?
Could be either way. It is a funny thing to watch happen, though.
I don't know. One thing that I've now that you're a parent, like I think that you can speak more on it than I could ever speak on it. I don't think there was like really a conscious effort to like protect me from the shit that I was watching.
That's how we got to
marketed as like a horror thing.
Yeah, that's how we watch like fucking Ninja Scroll and all that stuff. Like, you know,
right? That's a different story entirely, and I'm sure we've told it before.
We have. We told it a bunch of times. I'm just saying, like, it was literally like just parent attempting to like get something you liked. Bab just wanted to get us some anime. We seemed to like anime, and we just picked something up and put it down. It was like, here you go, right?
But I think that because you have that knowledge of what you're exposing your child to.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's also like he's 7 months old. He doesn't really like know.
I mean, a lot of this shit is not going to go in the cookbook forever. Like a lot of these recipes just getting out of there. Like the mental Rolodex is not super strong right now. Like if you can just grasp mom and dad real quick, like that would be real cool.
Nigga don't even talk yet. So, I mean, you know, exactly. There's that.
You know, but I mean, my thing was, is that like, me and the wife, you like, we both started talking at 9 months, right? So it's like, okay, like we figure he'll be either now-ish or 8 months when he really starts getting in there, because we figure he's gonna be better, like faster than us.
I mean, that's a hell of an assumption to make, but I feel you.
If we put ourselves together, like, we could probably.
I've heard him babble. I'm like, you know, the nigga could probably piece a sentence together in the next.
He's coming up with it.
Yeah, the next 2 months, you might piece a sentence together.
You know, dad talk. But that's just the type of shit that I'm like, okay, look, I told myself forever.
Wear my pants, father.
I told myself forever ago when I was younger, I was like, I'm going to wait to have a kid. I don't want a child to make me a man, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, I didn't understand. I was like, if you really give a fuck about your kid, like, because some niggas don't. I mean, like, some niggas just leave. And I mean, not just niggas, but like some men just leave.
Yeah, so for me, in general just leave.
Yeah. So for me, when I saw the little motherfucker, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I've got no other choice but to I'm here for this. Like,
yeah, yeah,
and the thing is, like, being here for this doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go well. Like, it just means that I'm like, okay, well, I want it to go well so bad that I'm going to motherfucking, you know, try and learn as much as possible. We're going to try to filter shit. We're going to try to see what you like and shit like that. I'm going to stand in the, I'm going to have awkward, weird conversations with my family about how I'm choosing to do shit. Cause I'm like, I literally look at people and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that way. So we're not going to do that. And they're like, what? Huh? And I'm like, yeah, no. Like,
what do you mean? And I applaud you for it.
It's a big surprise because everybody's like, what do you mean? LJ said no.
How could he?
How could he say no?
Well, put the cereal in the bottle or whatever the fuck.
He didn't just not answer the phone. Like, he didn't just fucking, he didn't just dip. Like, no, that's sad, talked it out.
That's good. That's good. I mean, that's growth for you personally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know, like, over the past, like, however many months, you know what I mean? Like, you've had your own personal growth and, you know, likewise. And
hopefully. All that other shit. Like, I mean, like, I'm proud. First of all, you know, getting this out there, because guys, we got to appreciate, you know, brotherhood and shit like that. Very proud of you, by the way. You got a rank up. No, just act
there. Yeah, I mean, but who gives a fuck?
That, you know. That's I give a fuck. Your girl give a fuck. The pocketbook give a fuck.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, that just started getting paid. But
shout out to you, nigga. Hey, how many times have you been the best by this week?
3 times, but I was looking for a cord in particular.
Yeah, see, I'm just saying.
The wife is starting her like content shit, and I'm trying to make sure her shit looks better than our shit. So
hey, shout out to her. That's the way it should be. Make sure wifey's doing better than you.
Gotta make sure the people that you take care of do better than
I'm grinding better than you. Like, I mean, like, I feel like if you're not really a support system, you ain't just kind of behind the scenes.
We had a back and forth like today though over like OBS, and I was like, look, nigga, this is how you do it, but
this is beside the point. But this is what YouTube said.
I personally have fun having mistakes, like making mistakes. Like, I have a great time doing it. You know what I mean? Definitely. And like, whether people tell me what I'm doing or not, I'm just gonna do what the fuck I feel like doing, regardless.
Of course.
Everybody's not like that. It's cool. The wife.
But I mean, that's the thing. It's like some people are built different. I mean, not like built different, like as a flex.
But
some
all people, built the same. But
I mean, everybody's the same body. What I mean is that some people operate differently, right? Like, we've had 4 years of time. I mean, our entire lives of being brothers, right? And then 4 years of content creation, almost 5. Shout out to us.
Yeah.
But content creation to try to, like, you know, we have various degrees of success, various degrees of failure. Like, where we
know what button to hit to make the button do the button thing.
Exactly. Like, I mean, to a degree, we've worked ourselves out into a groove. This is the first time you and the wife are going at something that is like whole, like hers. And so I completely get the fucking, like, the fucking what's the word I'm looking for? Motherfucking disconnect. I understand, like, having a fucking, like, a back and forth or two, you know.
I'm just saying, these niggas take me as a joke. They think I'm a fucking joke. They don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
They don't think I understand what the fuck I'm doing, but you know, I do this.
That bitch back in.
This nigga shaking the camera. He's so hype. Or is that your girl back there shaking the shit out of there?
Yeah. Get back. That's my dog.
Your wifey. I'm still, excuse me. Man. But nah, like I said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of, like, you know, the marriage situation, the fact that you and her held it down long distance, man. Your girl, I love the fact that my sister.
You know, what's crazy is, like, deployment is, to me, is just not long distance. You know what I'm saying? To me, deployment is a circumstance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is where we are. And I don't necessarily look at it like, you know, like long distance or not, because I wouldn't even be in a situation with somebody that didn't understand where I was at, type shit.
Gotcha. You communicate how you can, you get things done how you can, you and operate,
like,
keep a
family. I try to reiterate to people all the time, like, I was literally raised by prisoners. I know how to do a bit.
True.
So it's like, so it's like, you know what I mean? I come back and I'm like, all right, cool, did my bit. time to reintegrate. And I mean, there's like hiccups and shit every now and again, but like, I don't know. I think it's fine.
I mean, that's a part of the process, man. You can't go back and be like, what do you mean the rib McRib is gone? It's just gone? No,
but that shit does happen. Like, you come back and it's like, what the fuck happened to fucking...
Hey, man, it was a Hardee's.
What happened to the 4 for 4? What happened to the 4 for 4?
What do you mean it's only a 5 for 5 biggie bag? What the fuck?
5 for 5 biggie bag only. Hey, oh, man,
that's 2 more couches I got to flip
over. Let me get the bacon double stack and
in a mango lemonade. Is it peach mango? Mango? What is fuck it?
If I know. They all got the freestyle machine at the Wendy's.
Wait. Your freestyle machine. Are you talking about the ones you can just combine drinks or
yeah, like... you know what the fuck I'm talking about. You don't get the 5 for 5. You don't get the 4 for 5.
The what? Hold on. The 5 for 5.
$5 biggie bag. I don't know what goes in
the biggie bag. Yeah, it's the $5 biggie bag. Don't
you there 5 items in the biggie bag? I just know that I go in there, I grab what I want, and I don't really care what else is there except for the
bacon. As long as it's
and
look, you come from the generation of the dollar menu, nigga, right? You know the dollar menu, too, nigga.
What the fuck?
I mean, that's what I'm saying, but I'm just agreeing with you. I'm saying that when you pull up to McDonald's, you look at there, you see that menu right there, that little square, everything in that square you can order. Don't look at anything else.
No, no, for sure. Like, for sure. Yo, I'll take a $5 big bag with the X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, exactly. This is how it does it. They've even broke it down. Everything that you can have is in big, bold letters, and everything that's modular is in little, tiny letters.
I went to McDonald's like 2 days ago, and this is just reintegration shit. But I went to a fucking McDonald's, and this has probably always been the case, but it just pissed me off today.
This is a completely normal situation, but fuck that.
I went to McDonald's and was like, let me get a double cheeseburger, a large fry, and a fucking... you know, drink or whatever, right? I don't even think I got the drink because fuck the drink. And the niggas was like $8.75, and I really wanted to reach into the fucking window and be like, what you mean?
Hold on, man. I did the math. I knew what the fuck that shit cost. It's been costing the same shit forever. What do you mean?
But it will eternally be the best thing on the dollar. I mean, like, on the McDonald's menu. So whatever.
Hey, man, look, there's no such thing as never wanting one of those. You can always go for one. I had somebody come through the crib.
You know how you get the double cheeseburger? You got like the wrapper, right? The the wrapper, and it's got the little cheese stuck on the side.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, then you just take your teeth and scrape it off the paper.
Shout out to Deji Boo for bringing that up. I was like, that shit changed my life. That nigga
was like, hey, that cheese on that paper.
Nigga don't even know. That shit changed my life.
Yo, shout out Deji Boo for just being a nigga, a cousin that just gave haircuts. It was like, when you need a haircut, about once, twice a month, depending on how bald you want to be.
And I don't, now that I cut hair like on a regular basis, like I understand why Deji Boo did what he did.
How he operates?
I get it.
Because like the biggest
episode, that episode of Atlanta where like the nigga is like doing side quests while he's cutting hair.
Did he?
Totally get it.
totally episode is barbershop and the character is Bibby. It's like, hey man, let's go over here, we'll pick up this lumber.
Totally get it. Cause like you don't understand, like you gotta spend 30 minutes with a nigga spending time with him to make him look good. But I got so many other things that I gotta do.
But that so like do they book appointments or do they just
basically in you know, for those that don't know, like I'm a retail services specialist. So like I do like sales and service specialties or whatever on chips or whatever. So one of the services that we offer is like cutting hair shit. So like you post the list for the niggas that you can cut the hair of the day prior. And if you want to get a haircut, the best way to do it is to just get on the list because I don't give a fuck. I'm going to just be here and I'm going to cut whoever's the fuck is on that list.
Who's out there on the list, man?
Right. And I'm going to do whatever the fuck I feel like doing in that moment. You know what I mean? Whether it's watch this or watch that or whatever. Right. But niggas will always come up and be like, yo, bro, when you got time? Like, I don't have time. I don't have time.
Don't ask me. Put your name on the list.
Put your name on the list and you'll have my time. But niggas don't want to do that.
So you telling me that you number one, you the what's that nigga in barbershop's name? The white dude, Isaac. Isaac of the boat.
Was he the best barber in barbershop?
He couldn't. He was in the last. He was in the first chair, right? Because he was new and nobody was coming to him, and everybody would go to the nigga that became a lawyer. You know, I forgot there was a barbershop 3. By the way,
It doesn't matter.
I mean, I watched it recently. I was like, oh shit, I've watched all three now. And it's crazy. I remember now I have a son. It's different. It's crazy. But either way, yeah, no, Isaac, the white dude, or Italian. He's probably Italian.
He's probably Italian. You're talking about the white dude with the lineup.
Yeah, you know, Isaac, you know, because he starts the first movie, he's, you know, he's whack, and the dude's like, you don't even know what the fuck, culture vulture, boo de boo, you okay, well, cool, prove it, and he cuts his hair, and it's
Plymouth Rock, Plymouth Rock, I don't know what happened in Barbershop anymore, it's such a bad,
they played that dope ass song, he cut that nigga that looks like Tay Diggs' hair, and yeah, then,
that nigga.
Yeah,
cool. Put a plug in the kid's head. Yeah,
yeah, that God. Nigga. Exactly. Jimmy, that was his name. God bum, damn.
Bum. Oh, that's drummer.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, damn. Another haircut scene. We should just do a deep cut of all the haircut scenes because it's always a montage.
I don't want no more parts of it. I'm good. I'm good.
No more haircut jokes. Oh, that nigga poured the real bottle. I was just like, tweed. Watermelon tweed.
All right. Nah,
but that ass. And I, you know, the second movie, he's the best barber. Everybody's requesting him. Same with the third movie.
Right.
You know. Yeah,
don't give a fuck about barbershop.
So either way, I made a reference and I needed to explain it. So you were the motherfucking top flight of the barber. Top
yeah, but that's just because I provided the best experience. But I mean, y'all can listen to that episode for.
Excuse me. I know you said you necessarily want to retread Browner, but I was like,
we
you know,
can. But I'm also just like, you know,
yeah, I see the energy. The energy for it. I'm like,
the baby gotta yeah. I want to make sure you say out the dog.
Hey, speaking of barbershop,
you know that song "Doghouse" by Ravon. Ravon with the Isaiah Rashawn?
Nah.
No?
Nah. You have to throw a clip on it. I don't.
Who let the dogs out? Cheat on my bitch in the doghouse. Hmm. My Rosie Patricia in the White House.
Nah, but the bar, I'm here for it. I'm already on it.
It's good.
Shout out the way we share music. I love the give me 2-3 bars. And I'm really
that'll make me buy in. That'll make me buy in.
Now, yeah, yeah, because here's the deal. That lives in your mind so much so that you can come and perform it slightly. Like to me.
That nigga said cheat on my bitch in the doghouse, and I would never. But
absolutely that, not.
No, of course not. But fucking
in the doghouse.
When that nigga said that shit, I was like, that nigga.
That nigga.
He cooking.
Damn. Nah, damn, I had a whole thing, but now you got me hype about these fucking bars.
Yeah, like, no, it's crazy. It's
but nah,
bubble
asking,
gum, bubblegum in a dish. How many bitches do you get?
Ooh, wait a minute. That's my shit.
I hate when niggas want to play bubblegum. But
anyway. Oh, that's what the fuck I was gonna say. Speaking of barbershops and shit like that, right? Like, so kiddo, right? Son, his hair is curly as fuck, right? Starting to get long as shit. Like it's in his eyebrows and shit. And
it's long, but I don't want to call it curly as shit.
Long as shit. I mean, it's not curly as shit, but it's curling up. It's getting curly. It was long and straight at first. Now it's getting curly. So I'm like, the melon is showing. But we're having this discussion. We're like, when the fuck are we going to cut his hair?
At
like,
2 years old.
Is that what that you're a professional barber? Is that normal? Is that
I cut hair professionally. I'm not a professional barber. But I think that at that point in time, you'll have a good idea of like, what style will work for him. And I think that like kids in general, when you put like clippers to their head, they like act weird. They don't want that. They want the quietest clipper and all that other shit. It's just not worth it if they can't talk and tell you what they fucking feel.
Ah, shout out to you, man, because that's all the shit in my brain. I'm like, oh, two, that makes sense. I can just let that shit rock. Whatever happens.
I mean, I think that if you just let his hair grow till two and then be like, you know what? Let's cut it and see how he feels.
Bet I'm here for that shit. I needed that. I dead ass because it's like the weirdest little shit stays in my brain. I'm like, oh man, you know, he's got this motherfucking rashy spot on his fucking back left ankle. So I mean, is that like vitiligo? Is that the beginning of it? He's already like
probably not. That's just parent paranoia. And I know that you like a helicopter parent. At least that's what everybody tells me. So who knows?
I'll wear that proudly. It's weird. I'm not mad at being a helicopter dad. I'm quite literally like, you know what? If there's gonna be one, let me be the first.
Of all the niggas to be the helicopter, it should be you. You are the dad.
Happy
to you know, she is the mom. So I mean, y'all should raise the kid however the fuck y'all feel like. I applaud niggas who are gonna raise the kid however the fuck they feel like.
I think you should. I mean, I'm not saying there's a bunch of generational curses. I'm just saying that, like, when it comes to parents and shit like that, I realized since I've had this baby, I have not fixed my mouth to talk shit about anybody's parents.
True that.
It's crazy. I literally have not. I like, every time I see somebody do a show, like, hey, man, hold on, be strong, nigga, because I see you.
Yeah, gotta be hard. I get it.
I did not really notice any of these dads out here in Walmart until just then. I was like, I see you, dog. Try it. Keep going.
He trying. He walking him around.
He outside with it.
He outside with the kid.
Yeah, I can.
My question to you though is, so, I mean, as a dad or whatever, right? Like, you know, we
first
time
pops,
we know the kid is a mulatto child, and you know, of course, you gotta expose him to like anime and all that other shit. You know what I'm saying? Are you gonna expose him to him like the nigga way, or are you gonna just like let him? You know, you can't even do that.
Because I was like, I'm a nigga, so unfortunately, I can only show him the nigga way. Like, but
your wife not a nigga? Like,
no, she's not. And but the thing is that like she's also grew up poor, so like. You know what? It's a nigga way. It's poor. But what's weird is that we don't plan on
it. Nigga way is not exclusively poor. But go ahead.
That's true. For me, right, the way I plan on it, because I talked to with my wife about, I was like, hey, is there anything culturally you want to teach our son? She's like, culturally, like, you understand that, like, part Native American, part Jewish, part German, part. Well, I don't know about German, but something in Slavic in that area. She's like, I'm kind of a mutt, like, when it comes to that kind of stuff. And as far as it goes, we don't have any exclusive traditions that we really follow. You got to remember that, you know, the broken home, you know, dead mom, like all that good shit. Like, it's not necessarily, there's not a lot that I'm bringing over.
Yeah, what am I going to put on the kid?
Yeah, so nothing culturally, but as far as it goes, like value wise, that's when it was like, okay, well, I can get behind that. Most of these values line up. I've never seen anything that's like, we wouldn't have gelled the way we do if we had like such crazy opposite values when it came to shit. So easy day. But as far as the nigga stuff, yeah, no, I'm very like, we watch Gracie's Corner. That's like really what we like enjoy watching, or Paw Patrol, right? But not a lot of like white kids on TV. It's not like, I mean, it's
fair hard, enough. I mean, but it's like, not how like, do you feel about like the nigga that wrote? You listen to SZA? I don't know if you really
listen to SZA.
Like, you like SZA, but I don't know if you listen.
I like SZA, but I don't listen to a lot of SZA. I mean, I catch what's on the radio. I catch some of the B-sides that are really good on Spotify. Okay.
So I don't know if you heard like the new SZA album or the newer SZA album.
I mean, it wasn't the single from the newest SZA album. Like, I would kill my boyfriend and his girlfriend too.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Snooze.
I can't lose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so you know,
yeah,
that was written by like Leon Thomas.
Leon Bridge. Yeah, Leon Thomas. Yeah, yeah.
Who is Tyrone in the Backyardigans?
Oh, shit. He's Tyrone in the Backyardigans
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I don't know if like
that's. Shout out to you for not making him fucking homie from Victorious.
Yeah, I mean, he's bigger than that. Yeah, he's also homie from Insecure, but who gives a shit?
Yeah. Yeah,
but like, you know, so you got niggas like that and like those types of melodies or whatever. So like, you're showing them Gracie's corner, and like they got all like the little drum breaks and shit.
Yeah, so he loves 808s and shit like that. Like, I can tell very
but
much
everybody like, loves 808s and shit like that.
It's true. People like bass, but he like snare drums. But what really got me though, what let me know, because the thing is that yes, I showed him all that stuff too, right? But I also have those days where I'm like, damn, I want to listen to some Alanis Morissette. I know it's weird and lame, but yeah, like Alanis Morissette, I went like on Alanis. A few
sides. Enough about you. Let's talk about us for a minute. Enough about love. Let's talk about love.
I don't know the word.
Yeah, but because I love that you gave with that bunch of me. God damn, that shit was fucking
fire. You know it.
Yeah. Yes, I like, but no, I get Foo Fighters binges, right? I watched the whole back and the back and forth documentary. Well, the back and forth, the album, right? But it was Times Like These. I don't remember the name of the goddamn but either way, the album is back and forth. So I end up listening to a lot of Foo Fighters, and he's into heavy guitars, and he likes that too.
Not like true,
he, but yeah, I mean, I think he just likes energy. That's his kind of thing. He's like, you know, if I'm hype, then typically he's hype. It's not like typically he'll feed off whatever energy's in the room. But he has developed this thing where, like, if you do introduce it to him more than once and he does like it, he will. Like, I can absolutely confirm my baby loves Morris Brown by Outkast. Like, that's for sure. That's been from the time that he was a fucking, like, 2 month old to now. Like, I can say that will always be a hit. It doesn't miss. Okay. Like, it'll wake that nigga up. It'll make him turn his head immediately. Like, as soon as the whistle comes on, he's there. So he likes the way you move. That's another one. It's an easy day. But it was like a go-to when he was a baby.
Big respect. Okay.
So it's like I can see him forming things that he likes. So I can see him forming like not opinions, but just general like whatever is polarizing to him, whatever he finds interesting. Like I'm trying to like push him towards that. I'm like, oh, okay, you seem to like this. I'm gonna show you a bunch of this different type of stuff and see what you like react to. At the same time, you are a baby. So if something moves a foot and a half away from you, it's going to obviously distract you. So, you know, I do a lot of experiment with his little ass. I'm just like, all right, what do you like? What are you checking out here? You know, we try, you know, he's eating now. So we can all sorts of different foods and shit. Like anything that gets the neurons firing on this motherfucker. I'm like, yeah.
Whatever connects to. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Respect.
But as far as the black thing, yes, absolutely. Like I try to make it a penchant for him to understand that it is completely not only normal, but like, you know, that black, you'll see a lot of black people
as
anyway.
As much as he knows.
You know yeah, I mean? Exactly. As and much I mean, as he can know. Yeah, it doesn't mean that I'm never going to show the kid fucking like a Cocomelon. It doesn't mean that he's not going to watch, you know, because he watches the animes and all the anime characters look white. So it's like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it is what it is. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a way to segue into the thing.
Oh, no, you're great. Here's what I'm going to do for you. But now, in the process of all of that, right, I still try to keep up with some of the wild shit that's going on in the days, in the fucking zeitgeist and all the fucking internets and shit like that. And so there's no way that we can open a pod, especially with after giving you all this stuff, without getting a little current eventy. Like, so y'all know about the interview that heard around the world, you know, the thing that kicked off 2024. You know, did you see the Cat Williams Shay Shay? First of all, did you know that Shannon Sharp had a podcast?
I actually did not.
Yeah, me fucking neither, actually.
I respect the fuck out of Shannon Sharp as like a podcaster.
First of all, yeah, I was gonna say, first of all, let me not shade Shannon Sharp for not knowing he had a podcast, right? Because like that was an episode, like, I don't know. First of all, I think it was episode 6, but that's just me trying to pull something from my general brain library. Shannon Sharp had no idea he had a podcast, but suddenly I'm getting texts from mom talking about, have you heard about this Cat Williams?
I saw podcast? The same thing, and I'm just like, come on, mom. What's
that the point? So, I mean, I went in, I checked it out because I mean, like, the thing was going up. She's like, it's got 5 million views in like a day and a half. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I can't disagree with 5 million people. So, I mean, I can. That's not true. I can totally disagree
with 5 million people. Who gets a fuck?
Absolutely. There's not. But either way, I checked it out, and it was just as wild as I thought. Did you end up watching all 3 hours?
I did. I watched it. I watched all 3 hours. And you also got to remember, like, I've been a Cat Williams fan. You've been a Cat Williams fan for...
Shit, yeah. We're going on at least 20 years. Yeah. I'm 31 now. I know I was at least 11 when I watched my first Cat Williams.
What came out before? Was Pimp Chronicles the first?
Is Pimpin' maybe? No, it's Pimpin' Pimpin' was after that. Is it though? Because like I remember it's Pimpin' Pimpin' because the fucking it had it written on his head. Mm-hmm. And I remember the Pimp Chronicles, but I think Pimp Chronicles part one might be the green suit, like either way. Either way, I know that before all of that, Friday After Next, right? I think that was my first introduction to Cat Williams, Money Mike, that type of situation. Friday After Next. Yeah, I think that was. Because before his stand-up, it was definitely Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. And then after that, that's when we started getting into, like, that's when Pop started picking up the CDs, I mean, the DVDs.
So Cat Williams Live came out first.
Yeah. Then which is the one with the fucking... He's long haired and got the fucking fedora on.
Yeah. Long hair, fedora, live in the background. And then It's Pimpin' Pimpin' came out. And then World Tour or some other shit came out.
So It's Pimpin' Pimpin' was before Pimp Chronicles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Either way.
It's Pimpin' Pimpin', American Hustle. Cat Williams Live, American Hustle, It's Pimpin' Pimpin'.
There's no way. Shit.
There's no, no way. Sure. Pimp Chronicles got
to
be.
He was coming out to Hustlin' and that was definitely a song. Hustling.
Either way, like, the thing is that he chronicled his whole goddamn life half their way.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. And I can track his career to a certain point.
Yeah, it's Pimp, it's because Pimp Chronicles came out in 2006 and the part two came out in 2007.
Right.
And Pimpin' Pimpin', I don't think.
Hustlin' came out in 2006.
Yeah, it's Pimpin' Pimpin' was 2008. So yeah, we got that. Yeah, it's definitely Pimp Chronicles. Right. These are the underground ones. It's literally like arguing Madea plays. I'm like, yeah, nigga.
Which is also another subsect of black culture that I'm like, trust you if you don't have that knowledge. Anyway.
Right, exactly. It's like, hey, look, if you're not really, the thing is, I can't trust your opinion if you didn't come from a time frame of like a possible bootleg Madea movie. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm not like a bootleg Madea play.
Like, yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think that like the niggas that have seen like what's the first one? Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Yeah, yeah. The first one that came out. If you've seen the movie before you saw the play, I'm like,
But that's the thing, is like, you know, with the plays and stuff like that, they're rooted in music.
And that's not to qualify blackness, but I also think that like that's just a part of black entertainment that I
There's a degree of culture where it's like, if you say you're into black entertainment or something to that degree, like I can verify whether or not like that'll put a stamp on you faster than a lot of things. If you
feel like you got a better understanding of like the timeline of shit, because like in that 2006 period or 2006 to 2009 period, like there were like all the Illuminati allegations and all that other shit.
Everybody was selling their soul. Like everybody had already given it up.
When was the first time you ever heard about
Illuminati or somebody?
Dress.
You know what's weird? So here's what's wild, right? The first time I ever heard about the dress as a concept. By the way, shout out, you rocking that part in your eyebrow. I don't think nobody noticed that shit. This nigga,
all these old rags.
Yeah, did I see that?
Yeah, I brought that to the part, streets.
Anyway. No, I see you out there. But no, fuck. What was I saying before I got off on your
the part? Dress?
The dress. The first time I ever heard about the dress was after Dave Chappelle's fucking ousting, after he left Comedy Central. And he did
that was 2005.
Yeah, he did the Oprah interview. And when he did the Oprah interview, that was the first time he was like, I really
was it understood. Oprah?
Yeah, it was Oprah. He was talking to Oprah and he was like, why I gotta put every brother in a dress? And then it was like, bing, like right before you hit superstardom, you gotta get in a dress. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I mean, shit. It's
06.
It's pretty open. Like, there's a lot of niggas in dresses right now. I mean, like, Big Mama's House 2 was getting ready to jump. Like,
true, but okay, cool. So I mean, I think that it's important to kind of explain
how we got here, or like
what the dress is.
Got you. Damn, yeah, Big Mama's House 2 was 2006. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
Big Mama's House on VHS in the other room right now.
That's my nigga, right? Yo, man. Ooh, is that? Did you have another Big Mama? Do you got another flashlight in your pocket?
My name is Hattie Mae Pierce.
God damn it. Good time, but this is us laughing at this.
At the dress. Big deal. Right. Hold on. I'm going to go get that motherfucker real quick. Hold on. Just hang tight.
I'm sorry. You made me spit take. That was ridiculous. But. To give a brief, like, little setup about the dress situation, Cat Williams, after doing all this airing out situation, did a lot of accusations about, I mean, I'll say the first time he really brought up the dress situation was with talking about fucking Ricky Smiley and the fact that he was like, it's in my contract that the next time that motherfucker's in the movie with me is going to be wearing a dress and voila, first Sunday. And I mean, who knows whether or not that's verifiable. What we can't say is that the next role, the big role that they saw him in was, you know, the dress in First Sunday, which was that, you know, Tilly Ice Cube Bow Wow movie. No, it wasn't Ice Cube Bow Wow. I mean, Ice Cube was in the movie. Ice Cube and who the fuck else was in goddamn me First Sunday? Who was the funny
I
remember.
Movie? I know Cat Williams.
Tracy actually. Morgan? Was it Tracy
Cat Morgan? Williams was in First Sunday.
Yeah, Cat Williams, Ricky Smiley. I was just kind of giving a build up about when Cat Williams first kind of brought up the dress and shit.
What was the context in which you were speaking?
Oh, the fact that he brought up Ricky Smiley. He said, the next time I work with Ricky Smiley, he's going to be wearing a dress.
Okay.
And that was,
by the way, here's Big Mama's House.
He wasn't lying.
On VHS right here. Special edition. I don't actually trust any nigga that didn't have this in the house at some point.
It's true, man. If I couldn't look at your little VHS bookshelf or fucking rack or pile or box, like, and see at least 3-4 black movies, I knew this wasn't really the household to have.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody had Norbit on fucking DVD. Everybody fucking had
Big Mama's House 1 or 2.
You could do without Nutty Professor. I think
one Friday. No, I mean, not everybody had a Friday, but like a flood.
No, everybody had a Friday. There was one Friday in the fucking. Yeah. Okay.
At least one.
And I'm not over here to shit on niggas who didn't have that. Like,
sometimes you didn't have a VCR. I understand.
Who didn't have a VCR?
A lot of niggas.
Name 3 niggas that you know right now that didn't,
Have a VCR. 3 niggas? I mean, that grew up. I know niggas that were born after 2000. Like, you know.
Okay, that's different, but I'll bleep their names if you don't.
like
within a time appropriate.
Like, yeah, no. Okay. Context. Yeah, no. That I can completely agree with. Like, if you were born within at least a certain, like, if you were born before 99, like, yeah, you probably have.
Did you explain the dress?
No, I didn't. Okay, I just explained how we got to the dress. Okay. So again, I brought up Dave Chappelle because
I think there's value in like highlighting like why this particular interview and all this other shit that he had stated in this thing is culturally significant. Cause like, you know what I mean? There's other podcasts that have talked about like, and just other media outlets that have talked about how like this man had an interview that specifically spoke on black issues or black.
Yeah. Culturally. I saw that as well. Dave Chappelle, actually speaking of Dave Chappelle, he actually voiced his opinion. I know that dates the pod a bit, but he did voice his opinion on that situation, saying that it was like, hey man, you're one of the best painters in the industry. Why are you painting ugly pictures of us? Which is just basically saying it was like not one person that you talked about. He was saying that in terms of like not one comedian that Cat Williams brought up at that time was white, and if we're having a discussion about power and gatekeeping and things like that
bullshit.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know. Like, to me, when Cat Williams did that shit, it was like, this is what Cat Williams has literally always done.
Yeah, no, you can't. I don't understand people being crazy about the fact that Cat Williams was coming for all these individuals because to a degree, right? Because I don't necessarily think that Cat Williams in a previous interview has gone so heavily at so many.
No, but he has, though. Maybe not an interview, but from a subjective standpoint, right?
For sure. No, that I can kind of get behind. Mm-hmm. But like what I mean there is that like, absolutely subject matter, right? He is referencing individuals, but not saying a lot of names. This time was what I think was so crazy was because we're coming for a lot of different individuals, but nobody, Joe Budden fucking mentioned that he was like, nobody else could probably get that in. Exactly. He said nobody else could probably get that interview other than Shannon Sharpe because of the fact that Shannon Sharpe's platform was where a lot of this shit was said. Right. Okay. And that's why I brought up the fact that I was like, did you know that Shannon Sharpe had a platform prior to either way? You know, all
outside of ESPN.
Exactly, right? But outside all that shit, let me go ahead and get to the dress, right? Dave Chappelle brings up the fact that he's like, why does it seem like every brother before they get to a certain level of stardom has to be in a dress? And in which case, a lot of you are thinking, well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, look at Will Smith and like look at Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman. Like these are individuals that never had to put on a dress as far as we know. Not as far as we know. That's not to fucking, you know, insinuate that they did put on dresses or something like that. I'm just saying these are individuals that haven't. I don't think Morgan Freeman is ever cross-dressed on camera. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what he does in the past not in the past, but in the comfort of his own home. Yeah, I'm not to infer that Morgan Freeman cross-dresses, but the thing about the dress situation is that it did see, like the way that Dave put it, right? And this was just kind of a blanket statement for a larger problem, right? He felt like there was to a degree the dress represented the emasculation of the black man to the public, to the widespread media before they're allowed to make a certain leap or a jump in stardom, right? Before they're allowed to cross over to what's known as the mainstream, to these blockbuster movies and roles and things like that, then you need to appear as a, you know, you
emasculated black man.
Yeah. So, and that's one theory. There's another theory that is like, you know, to a degree, there's this attraction to the black male, to the black figure and form, that some individuals that are using their power to kind of like take advantage of individuals who and want to see these people in these like effeminate roles and things like that, or to a degree for their own fucking pleasure, or, you know, own just, you know,
right. Like you have to have a black man in like an emasculated agenda role to kind of. And I think that I don't know exactly when it started. Right. I think like particularly in the 90s, I think that a lot of people forget that one of Will Smith's first breakout roles was in like a movie called 6 Degrees of Separation.
Where he cross-dressed?
No, he didn't cross-dress, but he played like a man who was implied to be homosexual.
And that's another thing. I was like, I said, when I said the dress is representative, is that there's a lot of it's any emasculation, but not just that. Denzel Washington actually has a point. He spoke on an interview where he was like, you know, before I got like my Oscar nominated role in Freedom, they had me, they kept pushing the script on me of this kind of, and he called it the nigga they couldn't kill. Like that was the thing that he, kind of the quoting him, the nigga they couldn't kill. Cause he's like, look, and they think it's really funny. It was like, you know, they hang him and it doesn't work. And then they electrocute him and it doesn't work. And then they keep, you know, it's like,
the unkillable nigga.
The unkillable nigga, basically. You know, so they were like, Denzel is perfect for you. You got to do it. And he was like, no, because he's like one of his mentors, somebody in the game that's been there for a while, was basically like, you know, you only get to come out once, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like the first few roles you get to break out once. Yeah, exactly. Your first the first few roles you pick can kind of dominate your career for the rest of your life. And so you really have to be thinking about what you're going to star in, especially when you're first starting out and shit like that. And so he said no on that and he passed and then you went to Freedom and got that. But this is another situation of like not just emasculating, but like placing them in roles that are like, oh, ho, ho, this is funny. And maybe to them that was funny. But Denzel also brings up, he's like, but I also, there's a lot of Jewish guys, not to, you know, make any correlation there. Yeah, you know, but he's a lot of Jewish guys. He was like, you know, what if I was like, you know, we gathered a bunch of Jews together and, you know, they all get in there and they're supposed to go take a shower and they get in there and it's gas. And they're like, whoa, what the fuck? He's like, well, I mean, you know, see, that's not funny, you know, but as soon as it is about a black man, it's hilarious.
So, I think that the narrative of black emasculation has, I'm not going to say gotten out of hand, because like it's something that I've been exposed to since I was a fucking like early teen.
Yeah. I mean, because again, we're speaking about Big Mama's House, things to that degree in 2000.
Well, not even just that, just like the concept that there was something wrong with it. Because like, you know, when you're like,
I see.
You're like, what year did this fucking movie come out?
Goddamn, 2006 man. Or 2000.
This shit says 2000.
Oh, no, that's one. Yeah, so 2000, I was about to say.
Okay, so, like, you know, in before that, like, you have Big Mama's House, you have fucking Nutty Professor, where he played, like, the fat version of his mom, like, his aunt or some shit. Yeah. All that shit, you know what
definitely.
I mean?
And, I mean, because the thing was that I started looking into it. Have you heard about Holiday Heart?
Yeah, with Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, right? That's a cross-dress movie, 2000. Damn, that's the year 2000. Hold on. Let me look, because there's another one here, because Wesley Snipes. Right. I was trying to remember when Wesley
Snipes. And that's the one with him and who was it? Not Robert.
Was it Woody? One of them, Italian.
Names.
Yeah, he was with another couple of guys. It wasn't just him cross. It wasn't just him in drag. I mean, like cross dressing. I don't know, but it is cross dressing because I mean it's an individual dressing up as a different gender.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
dressing up to identify as another gender.
Okay, true. I mean. Once again, I think that that's just the status of entertainment at the time.
I mean, that is a long list. I mean, that's back to back, essentially.
I think that a lot of these niggas who are like taking issue with, not even just issue, just like taking all this
that has
a certain point, are really just being like extreme, not extremely, but like homophobic as fuck.
To a degree, I mean, well, so let's not one, right?
But also keep in mind, homosexuality was a point of comedy at a certain point.
To a degree, like I completely understand. Like, not even to a degree. Like it was if you looked at an Xbox chat room, like it was definitely homosexuality was something.
Before that, bro.
I'm just saying, like as up to that, even as late as Xbox chat room. So okay. Even before that, like when
all right, then I'll give you even as late as, right? Mm-hmm. Like Xbox chat rooms or whatever the fuck, gay chicken, whatever the fuck.
So like the homophobia being like a normal joking laughter thing, but also like, what I'll say is this, that even more to that point is that like the values of being a man at the time, right, was, you know, a different situation. Some individuals, and I think another funny thing about this is anybody that's mentioning the dress thing is Muslim.
I get where you're going here. I don't want
to. I'm not saying that. I'm not. Again, what I'm saying is nothing against Muslims. I'm saying that in that culture, masculine values are held very high, right? And that's
hip hop too.
Yeah, but that's another group of Muslims.
Hip hop is another group of.
I'm saying it was started by.
There are a group of Muslims
that can definitely say that they were started in hip hop. I hip-hop. Won't
give you this all the way.
Wu-Tang, a good deal of Wu-Tang Clan are Muslims.
Not all Muslims. I don't.
But the founding, the
nigga 5%ers, some of them are Muslims, some of them
5%ers. Yeah, excuse me. You gotta actually fucking
right. I would say extremist religious.
Exactly. These are individuals,
popular subcultures.
Damn. I was like, exactly. These are individuals that masculine values are held very high. Right. And so to a degree, right. The issue, right. Mind you, them having the feeling of not wanting to dress, right. Not to wanting to put on a dress, right. Is, I don't think, wrong. I think that you should have complete autonomy over your body. I think that when you come out and you pick a role, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I think that when you pick a role or something like that, like you have the ability to say no. And if you don't, and then you can push it and you lose that role, that just happens because you said no.
Yeah, right? And that's what, that you lost that role.
Exactly. And that's something that Kat was talking about. It's like, you know, I'm not that person. If I say no, I pass on it. You don't want me. You want this person, you know, and I'll shoot that way, you know. But that's the thing is like, if that individual says no, right, the issue that a lot of people had and the thing that's pointed out is that if you do say no, right, then suddenly you get the angry black man, you get the he's difficult to work with, you'll never work in this town again, all of that type of shit. Like, that's where the issue, right, because the thing is that, yes, right, the question of whether or not it's emasculating, the question of whether or not it's homophobic is all there and it's there to be talked about and discussed. But the abuse of power is obvious, right? The fact that if someone says no to this situation, the clear cut signs that they're not like they can be blackballed. And that's why some individuals don't say no. Right. That's why you get Terry Crews. Like, and we've talked about the Terry Crews situation.
Boy,
right?
is that a great example.
Yeah, I'm like, but like we talked about that, like that's a very big man. That's a strong man. That's Damon, right? That is an individual that like, okay, we believed that he was really going to try to, you know, do something to Cat Williams in that bathroom, right? But that was the thing, right? And then also we believed in his wife. I'm
trying to think about crunching on your balls.
Oh, good times. Good times.
Good for him.
But I'm saying this, right? That individual, right? Even him. Oh shit, I'm over. But even him,
you are
right?
Over. And I'm trying to figure out how we gonna.
I was looking at the time. My time on my fucking my computer is fucked up. But like even him, right, is an individual that's been subjected to that emasculation, right? He's been touched. He's been he was assaulted. Yeah, excuse me. He was. I can't think of a better word, right? But to a degree, it's like that's Damon.
He was assaulted,
like,
and I'm not gonna discount that.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, like, but
I also think that this culture in particular is so unproportionately concerned with being emasculated.
So, like, now I can agree with you, right?
I think across the
board, but 2005, right? 2000, early 2000, 1980, all of these different things. I really feel like the fact that gatekeeping existed. As well as
it exists now.
I mean, it still does, but I'm saying that the window for gatekeeping is way lower. Like the gates
is the gate. Put this dress
the
on.
Fact that I blah 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 blah. Like we can get into independent bullshit like that. But I'm saying that like the fact that I can walk in here, turn on a camera and record something and put it out, and then through my own volition make it happen, right? Now to cross over, that's a different thing. We'll probably have to go through a gate, but I'm saying that like you can get a buzz just you. Like by yourself at this moment, right? But in time in 1980, like you had to kind of go through certain hoops, and the gates were more and more prevalent, right, to get through these types of things. So saying no at one gate could certainly bar you from multiple down the line.
Is because, the like, gate put putting on the fat suit.
The gait. I mean, the fat suit versus the dress. The thing is that
it's all like, to me, it's the same.
The right? one motherfucker that did it right.
And I
right?
think that a lot of times it's like, wait. The one motherfucker, what?
Well, I would say the one motherfucker that did it right, right? I'll say it's Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry.
Really? And,
yeah, because I'm saying, well, and I say, really? Did it right, right? I'm just being honest. I'm not saying that everybody that put the dress on, Big Mama said, don't fucking come at me. I'm not saying they're bad movies. He owns it. I love it. I just quoted it. I'm saying that Tyler Perry, right? He, of his own volition, decided to create a motherly character. Like, I mean, after multiple Madea, workshops and failures and shit like that, he finally found that crux character, Madea, to kind of lead his shows and his universe and all that shit, right? And he was like, the only person that can play that role is me, right? And because it's me, it's funny. Right. And we can all agree that Madea is funny. And we know that Madea as a giant woman. I mean, we can agree that Madea is funny. Like, you know, it doesn't mean she's always funny. I'm just saying that she is funny. But he, as a giant woman and a concept, like, we know that's Tyler Perry. Right. But as a character, we know that's Madea.
Okay.
And I mean, I feel like
that's Tyler Perry or a man in general.
Does not make me feel. Yeah, doesn't make it. No,
it does.
It does. I mean, yeah, actually, yeah, because there's no way you can get that size of a woman just on a daily basis,
right? And it's just like we're not gonna laugh. We wouldn't laugh if Madea was actually played by like an older black woman.
Exactly.
We might.
It would not be. I mean, could be. She could be hilarious if it was
actually no. Because you think about all the times that he's had like a black older black lady sidekick. I'm like, that lady's not nearly as funny.
Now that's sexist. That lady clearly as funny as a man in a dress.
I don't care. Because like to me, it's just like I will always acknowledge the humor of this situation. You want to go check in real quick?
I need to. I have to.
Yeah, go check in.
Give me like a 5-minute wrap up movie because we actually damn. I hate to have to say this, but we might have to fucking finish this later. Or you know what? Let me just go get the baby. I'm not even.
Get the baby and check in with your wife and make sure.
I was just about to come get him. I swear. My clock says 9:32. What's up?
Cool. Yeah. Hi, Trey.
Yeah.
There you go. He loves that hat.
Yeah.
Anyways, right. I don't know. I feel like we're so fucking close to. Man, he loves that mic.
I'm listening.
I think that we're preoccupied, right? Because like there's commitment to the art, and then there's commitment to I don't know, like the culture, right? And when it comes to fucking like this nigga wore a dress, or this nigga did this, or this nigga did that. Like we're so hyper focused on it that we're not acknowledging that like the time period that we lived in or the time period that we were experiencing this entertainment dictated what we saw. And I don't think that today any of that dress shit or any of them niggas putting that shit on means nearly the same shit.
Yeah, no, so here's the deal, right? I get what you mean, right? But that be also becomes a situation of, oh, it's a product of the time, you know? It's the times were different. Is. And it's true. I feel like the time does add perspective, right? Time frame, the culture, or what it was, where we evolved to now, right? Whether or not it was right or wrong. I mean, I get, this is going to sound fucking crazy. Never mind.
No, go ahead. Fuck it.
I'm going to get it. I'm from the fucking crazy, South, right? I've heard. I'm from the South. I've heard all sorts of arguments, right? And you know, the fucking it's about states' rights, it's about Southern pride, it's not about slavery, right? I've heard it a million times, right? And to a degree, I'm like, I understand a group of individuals feeling like their life and culture was at jeopardy, right? I understand them feeling like
which individuals are you speaking of?
I'm speaking of white Southerners. I'm speaking about white Southerners feeling like their life was, I mean, not their life, but their culture was in jeopardy. And so for me,
just let them bite the hat, nigga. Just here. Let them bite the hat.
Take this. That's what I mean. There we go. All right. But
culture.
White Southerners, which I don't even know what fucking point you're making here.
But the thing is, I'm saying that, like, right, these individuals feel like, well, yeah, what point am I making? Excuse me. Because what I ended up doing was I'm saying that white Southerners had this kind of reason to bitch and moan about this thing, right? Because to a degree, not every last one of them were slave owners, right? Not every last one of them were individuals that were like profiting off of slavery. A lot of some of these individuals were just like, I don't feel like I don't agree with these values. I feel, you know,
you gotta not be distracted by the kid.
First time
he look there. Like he's chilling.
He is. He's just feeling on stuff. No. I really can't remember what the fucking point was. I was just making the comparison between the individuals that feel like this emasculation is happening to them. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that because the culture and things are evolving, right? And times are changing, right? That's what it was. It was that, like, at the time, right, there was a Southern, like, Belle culture. There was a Victorian Southern culture, right?
Okay.
And so the thing was is that that was looked down upon by the North. That was considered to be the culture of slavery, right? But to them, this is like, this is not the culture of slavery. This is just how we are as a people, right? So any individual that operated in this manner, not to say that all of them were slave owners, and operated in the Victorian.
Why are we talking about slave owners?
I'm just, yeah, when you say white Southerners, you think slaves. Right?
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, let's get on back to the dress.
No, it don't matter. I realize.
Oh, white Southerners butt breaking, either way. Yeah, man. No.
Breaking white Southerners out the whole night. I just think that, one, seeing a nigga wear a dress is funny. And ultimately, like, that's the point I'm making. Seeing a nigga wear a dress is funny.
Seeing a nigga wearing a dress, right? The reason that we say that Tyler Perry was funny, right, was because it is him in a dress. It is 6'5", 6'7" fucking Tyler Perry in a motherfucking dress. And it is funny in application there. But is it? I mean, it's not always funny. And there are sometimes moments where I'm like, you know what? Did it happen? Yeah, at the same time, I'm like, no, it could be anybody. Because Joe Budden, they tried to have this conversation.
This nigga Tyler Perry really is like 6'6".
I told you, he was like 6'6", 6'6". I just watched this little documentary, Rosemary's Baby or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Marilyn's Baby, something. His mama name, Baby. his mama's name is not Baby. I say it's his mother's name and then Baby. But it was a prime documentary. Really good, very informative. Mm-hmm. Like lots of like.
So, you know. So here's my last question, right? Because, like, yeah. I think that one thing that I kind of need to, like, iterate is that I don't think that. I think that everybody has to go through, not has to, but there's like a degree of humiliation that comes with trying to get opportunities. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that at a certain point, due to the times, like the '90s or whatever the fuck time you want to call it or whatever. Right. People wanted to see people cross dressing. And that was just funny to niggas.
Okay, right. I mean, I can see that, like, it's like, hey, look,
and I think that there are 100% is funny. Definitely niggas out there that suck dick to get, like, roles or whatever, right?
Yeah, no, that was a huge
their
thing.
Their choice to suck
dick. Okay, wait. Because we're saying it was their choice to suck the dick, and that's not what we were agreed upon.
Let him grab the mic, nigga. He's fine.
In 2018. No, what the thing is that what they did was, yes, they did decide to suck a dick, because if they didn't suck said dick, their career could be over. And at the same time, like, it could be. I'm just saying.
I don't see anybody saying that about white people at all.
You're saying that there are no white men, right? That are saying.
I'm not saying there's no white men that suck their dick to get a role. I will never say that there's not any Caucasian fellows out there that didn't pop a wiener in their mouth
to fucking get a role. Hey, man, I'm going to be skater.
But I think that the only people who care so much about it are us. And I mean, that probably sounds like anti-cultural or whatever, but
the thing is that because of slavery, right, because of buck breaking,
because of taking large masculine males and making them do things and castrating them and all that horrible shit that happened, right? Like, there was a degree
Bing of Rebs, fear. Bing Rebs is a big nigga. You're right.
Yeah, there's a degree of fear that comes with a very large black man, right? Mm. So how do we rob, how do we change that fear, right? How do we allow that individual to break through and forward without having
that Wesley fear? Snipes is 5'9". I don't want to hear that shit.
No, but Wesley Snipes is 5'9". He's also a martial artist. He's also cut the fuck up.
And he's not Blade, I don't care that he cross-dressed in a movie.
Exactly. Not only did we watch him fucking cross-dress, we also watched him kick vampire ass for 3 movies straight.
That nigga was fucking vampires up. So I'm just like...
kicking vampire ass.
Fucking vampires up. And I just think that, one, I think that we are creating a straw man argument against niggas to say, like, oh, they didn't deserve this or deserve that, or the reason they got this or that
is because they suck dick or because they wore a dress.
Right.
Yeah. No, and I get it. That's belittling of nigga accomplishment. Like, and the thing is to say, like, I'm not here to fucking condemn niggas wearing a dress. If all personality, I mean, in all straightness, I'd probably wear a dress. Like, I think I've worn makeup on stage.
Hold on now. Slow down.
I'd probably wear a dress. I mean, just depending on the situation, right? Like Chiwetel and Ejiofor, the nigga that from 12 Years a Slave, Chiwetel, you know, the nigga that played 12 Years a Slave.
I didn't watch 12 Years a Slave.
The nigga's name was 12 Years a Slave.
His name is 12 Years a Slave.
Okay. But nah, yeah, he actually played a he cross-dressed. He played a trans person. And to a degree, right, I would understand the role of like playing a trans individual, right? Like, and trying to do it justice and in order for representation, things to that degree. At the same time, I'm like, you know, if you can find a trans artist, you should probably hire them. Like, I mean, trans actors,
I don't think that was like a thing that we were checking for.
No, like when they cast Rami Malek, right, to play fucking Freddie Mercury. Right.
Who was not like, trans. Freddie Mercury is not trans.
No, Freddie Mercury was just homosexual. Right. Okay. That was but it was not something that he could be open with, right, originally. Mm-hmm. So he was a closeted homosexual for a while. He was married and everything. Like, but the thing is that Rami Malek is not homosexual.
Okay.
He just happens to kind of look like Freddie Mercury if you put a mustache on him and add some shit. Like but that's the thing. He played a homosexual man. There's a homosexual dude out there that looks just like Freddie Mercury. That's like, that's my role.
Okay. And
so the thing is that when there is opportunity, right? Because, my point back there was to say that, like, hey, look, if you think that it's wrong for this individual, I don't think it's wrong for anybody to say no to a role or something to that degree because they can't wear a dress. Right. I think it is wrong, however, for that individual to be discriminated against or fucking threatened.
Nigga, right? Give him the hat.
You know what I'm saying? He's not used to this. Don't know what's underneath this hat.
It's okay, but nigga, just give him the hat. At this point, it's cool to give him the hat. He's trying to read hat, what's dude. On the hat. He can't give read what's on the hat.
I'm not worried about him reading what's on the hat. I say,
just give it to him, nigga. Damn.
Take it.
If there's ever a time to give a fucking hat reveal, like this is just give your son the hat.
There you go.
There you go. There he is.
Yeah, that's that. What are we gonna do with it now?
Didn't expect
that's
that.
You, buddy. That's you.
It's all you, man. You got the prize. I know what you're gonna do with it. Nephew, what you gonna do with it?
Now it's on my head. He's like, okay, cool. There you go. Yeah, he don't want that hat.
I don't know. I don't I
understand what you're saying, right? Because the thing is that as of the times and to a degree, like, hey man, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, right?
But I'm not saying that. I do think that there is an issue of emasculation across the board for entertainment, right? Across the board, there's an issue for it, right? But I think that we disproportionately care.
I was like, us as a people really, really care. But that's when I brought up the fact that, you know, the fact that because of slavery, right, there is a degree of like needing to assert yourself as a mass. Well, back then there was a time frame
that we had to assert yourself. More pressure than any other people to put forth a masculine image, and I think that hinders our art more than most.
Okay. And in your thought process, do you say that hinders our art?
Because it's like, one, was it Sylvester Stallone? I don't know which one of them niggas put on a dress and did the cross dress thing. Mrs. Doubtfire. Fuck it.
What oh, no, that's Robin Williams. Robin Williams. That's
Robin Williams.
John Mrs. Travolta. Doubtfire.
Travolta. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these are individuals that have definitely cross dressed. There's a long list of white men, but that's not a problem in their culture, right?
Nobody ever brings that up.
There's a drag day at most high schools. Like most high schools have a day where like they dress the
it's
football.
It's fun to wear mascara.
Yeah, it's like there's y'all know that the football players have been in cheerleader outfits before. Right. And y'all know that like we've seen the cheerleaders switch up the football pads and stuff. That's what powder puff football is. Like
right. So why do we have to make it about Satan and fucking like
church culture? There's a lot of things that come with that. I mean, like, we can't be the same niggas that were like, you know, black people don't play Magic the Gathering because of civil rights and fucking white culture being an opposite thing, and not also acknowledge the fact that like because of toxic masculinity in the black culture, right, and making sure that things black gays go through way more issues, black queer people go through way more issues than a lot of more other queer people because they happen to be both,
right, you know, and I do agree.
Why add that? So some individuals like, why add that stigma to my name before I'm trying to break out in order for, you know, X, Y, and Z to happen? Like, right. What I'll say is Cat Williams' point, right? The point that he made, right, was that, look, man, in the original script for this, and this is a movie that is independently produced essentially, or produced mostly throughout fucking Ice Cube's pocket. I can't say fully independent, because by the time we get to Friday After Next, I think there's more like involvement, things to that degree, right? But we get to that, and the original script, he's talking about the fact that Money Mike was supposed to actually get fucking assaulted in that guy in the bathroom, right? The original script, that's what he said. That was out of his mouth. So he was like,
out of his mouth.
Yeah, I was like, so he's like in the original script,
possibly mentally ill Cat Williams' mouth.
Possibly. He was assaulted, right? He said, I begged him. I didn't beg them, but I petitioned him. He's like, you know, I think that I could do this funnier. And without anybody getting raped, without a black man getting raped on screen or on television or even implied rape or anything like that, right? And the thing is that the scene was hilarious. We all, like, you were literally cracking up about crunching on your balls.
It's so funny.
It's fucking funny. It's absolutely
nigga had funny. The nigga had the vice grips on the nigga nuts.
Crunching on your balls. That shit was hilarious.
For a 12-year-old, that is
my nigga, yes.
Comedy.
That is comedy. In its wholeness, all right. The same thing as that in the last movie was like, show me your Aztec warrior. I'm like, oh, this is fucking hilarious. I'm Aztec
warrior. That's funny.
It was fucking funny.
That's funny. That's with the spirit of comedy in mind. And granted, yeah. Nobody's ever offered me the dress.
No, I mean, like, yeah, no. I have definitely worn a wig. I've worn lipstick. I don't think I've worn the full getup or anything like that. I have put on my girls' dresses. That's a funny thing.
But like, was it in the spirit of theater?
In the spirit of theater, I'll put a dress on. That's what I'm saying.
Theater. And I'm just like, why are y'all niggas trying so hard to make it not more or less, but like, why does it have to be so much for us?
You know? Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, again, because of our history, I keep leaning back to it, it's like, that's why it's a big thing for us, right? But I think that it would also be a big thing for, like, an Indian father, right? Or an Indian family. But we don't have a lot of Indian comic. Like, when's the last time you saw Kamal Numaji or whatever the fuck in a dress?
I have not, but
and whenever what you I ever will seen say Kumar is or Harold
how much
or
of his culture will stop him from doing so.
I don't know. Because like think, here's the
yes, it,
oh you know what's up. Wild you know what's, I just realized I was like in Nordic mythology that shit happens all the time, in Greek mythology that shit happens all the time, where gods and these motherfuckers just they change bodies and genders and shit like that, Like,
I'm gonna be a bitch.
Thor, like literally, fucking Loki transformed Thor into a woman, and Thor was completely cool with it. He was like, "Yeah, man, this is gonna be a perfect scheme. I'm gonna transform into a bitch, and I'm gonna run up in here.
What happens?
So, the themes of this stuff is very prevalent there, but I don't think, and mind you, I'm not a fucking African lore specialist. Like, I wish I was. I wish I did have more of our stories other than like Anasi the Spider and fucking Papa Midnight. Like, you know, there's deeper shit than that. But unfortunately, no. I don't have that. I could do it. I need to do the research because I don't
have the research either. I just think that seems like we're so shackled. And once again, to all the dudes that had to suck dicks to get movie roles, or all the dudes that had to get fucked to get roles or whatever, my heart goes out to you, because like that shit really sucks. And I do believe that there is a degree of humiliation that is added to our shit in particular, that, you know what I mean, like other people aren't subjected to.
They don't feel it, but the thing is that they're not gonna have to worry about their culture, or you know, their peers and loved ones looking at them any differently for the role that they pick.
Right, because they don't,
which is a privilege.
They don't get looked at from a cultural lens.
Yeah, so like that's what I was gonna say. Because of the fact that as a black man, you have the weight of the black race, the black male race, on your back every time you go outside. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when you put on a dress and you know that there's a large subsection of people in your community and issues that are gonna have a problem with that, or it's gonna influence somebody. Like, you don't want to. This is gonna sound fucked up, but you don't want to be the reason
why. Same with your son in your arms.
Exactly.
Please make the statement while your child is.
While somebody else's kid is Little Richard, right?
Right.
You don't want to be the reason why somebody else's kid is Little Nas X, right? You want Lil Nas?
That does sound fucked up.
You want Lil Nas X, future Lil Nas X, or future Prince, or future fucking
future Lil Richard, whatever the fuck they feel like expressing. Yeah.
You want them to feel like that was their idea. Like, yeah, this was on them. They not on them, but like this was their choice, right? That there was no added or any pressure. Like, there's no fucking gatekeeper with his dick out going, "Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You want this money?
Jerk the dick, nigga. You want to be in the next Fast and Furious, you need to jerk the dick."
Jerk the dick with this baby in my arms is hilarious.
Yo, slow down. All right. Anyway, it was not the point. Oh. No, I don't know. I do think there's a ploy to emasculate people. But I also think that we're putting too much effort on it. And I'm not trying to discredit everything like Cat Williams said, because, like, of course, like, he said more than just like niggas got fucked and niggas sucked dick. And
he also said that, hey, look, like, when I was presented with this situation, right? When this opportunity was presented at me, right, and there was a rape scene that I could have easily just said yes to and went in, I said,
I don't even think that he did that.
This is what he said to Shannon, man. This
it's
is all
easy to be the hero when, like, you know, you get the time.
Oh, when you're telling the story, man, you got 3 hours to talk to a fucking professional football player like with CTE.
You saw this nigga, Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy went up there and said he was the crown killer of fucking Baton Rouge. But
he said, "I know." Come on, bro. Hey, you want to play with Winnie the Pooh? Let me get Winnie the Pooh.
He bullying, nigga. I think it's cool. I'm cool potting with my boy. With my boy Trent. That's my dog.
You want some fajitas, man?
He can't eat that. Don't do that.
He can't eat the shrimp. He can fuck with a piece of the steak. All right, change the lights.
Yeah, there you go.
Change the lights.
Let's fuck with the lights.
Yeah, fuck it. I didn't curate this lighting at all.
Yeah, there you go. It's fine. You already got no hat on. Look, dude, you just gotta let people see. Yeah. This is perfect. This is perfectly fine. I don't mind.
This is dad. This is me.
This is what dad life is like. I shouldn't have waited so long to record. My bad, nigga. But
oh no, you good.
Nah, I mean, even still, like, I've gotten on your ass about it in the past, so it's like,
you just got back.
Even still, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't seen the nigga like forever. So, like, you know.
Happy to be here. Shit.
Yeah, I see him. I don't necessarily want to call the nigga's hair curly type shit, but I feel you.
Yeah, now he got it. He got it rocking. This is wavy. Now when I throw that shit back, he got a little length on.
Just don't let him be like a fuck boy about it. But anyway,
you know what's the weird? I was like, I feel like I was looking at him. I'm like, he gonna be a pretty boy nigga. He gonna be a pretty boy Floyd nigga.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, who knows? You could get real ugly. No, no. I'm gonna love you.
We pray for ugly children around here.
Hey, you know, or at least a dash. You gotta have something. That's some
smidgen of fucking ugly on him.
Just
anyway, he fucking with the remote, nigga. Just let him do him. Yeah, let him do him. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Anywho, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want our art to be limited. Yeah. I don't want art to be limited by perception of black art. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, I can't.
I don't think that Big Mama's House and fucking Norbit and all them other bitches
is detrimental. You know, there's detrimental.
I mean, I think that they are a subsect of black entertainment that is valuable, but ultimately not the best.
Gotcha. Now, do you? And here's the weird thing, right? We say that the dress is what fucking elevates you, but I'm like, didn't Eddie Murphy fall off after the dress?
Like, he definitely fell off after fell off after Shrek 3.
Yeah, yeah.
If you track his trajectory, he was doing great until Shrek 3.
What's the name of that reggae song, man?
Which one is that?
The one he just he made after, like, after Tower Heist. He made it after Tower Heist.
Fuck if I know. How come we don't shit on Snoop Dogg for Turbo?
Because it was an animated film.
And Turbo was really good. Let's not fuck.
Like, I was like, it was
Turbo was good. Really fucking good. I watched that bitch like 3 months ago. That shit was
good. Still is fast. And also, it was one of the first like Disney Pixar movies to encapsulate being like in the internet viral era. It was.
Do go on. Michael Pena was there. Luis Guzman was there.
I'm saying that like, Gabriel Iglesias, I think, was there as well. No, that was Michael
Pena. No. Luis Guzman, because Michael Pena ran the taco truck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay, little snail, let's go. Yeah. You don't understand. I'm gonna live my dreams. Me and this.
And I was just proud to see, because it's like, yo, his brother don't fuck with him. He don't want to put him on the.
Come on, man. He thinks bullshit, man. He don't think he really makes tacos, and it's Luis Guzman. Yeah, I told you not to do that. fucking. Turbo is a fantastic movie. We don't get on Snoop Dogg because of the fact that Turbo was just that damn good. Was Samuel Jackson in that movie too?
Samuel Jackson was also in Turbo. I don't know. I feel like these are way more emasculating movies than fucking putting the fat suit on and being on.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, so
please, I'm a child.
So the thing is, I'm looking at this situation right now. So you're saying that because Eddie Murphy was Donkey. And because
Eddie Murphy was Donkey,
and because Samuel Jackson
indeed
was a snail,
a literal ass
was a snail, that these are more incriminating, more discriminatable roles than the dress situation. And that if anybody had a problem, they should.
To me, it's these. A different degree of buffoonery that I'm like, why are y'all cool with that?
But there it is, right there. That word right there, right? I don't think there's such a thing as, well, so here's the thing, right? I'm going to finish the statement. I don't think there's such a thing as buffoonery in black culture is the norm. Like, I don't think that buffoonery is acceptable as niggas. I don't think that was going to be like a thing. It was like after Martin Luther King, you telling me in the year our Lord, after Martin Luther King has passed, like, you're going to allow these niggas to commit buffoonery? But I say that, but then you look at shit like Blank Man. You look at shit like Major Payne. And so it's like, to a degree, that is buffoonery, right? But I'll say that for the motherfuckers that I fuck, I understand why some of them are like, the dress, right? Like, note that not once did Dave Chappelle like have an issue about the dress or anything like that, because he's spoken on the power gap in Hollywood, because that's where the dress conversation comes from. The power gap that definitely does exist.
Oh, for sure.
It definitely does exist. Now, the fact that we're making it about niggas wearing a dress, that is an entirely different situation.
Why my man's got a ball spot? Yo, hey, yo.
You talking about in the back? No, he got baby hair. So up underneath that, it's all like baby stuff.
Don't ever give him no high top, nothing.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is his hair is grown. It's long, but then also underneath it's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You actually take the full, you take the full back. That's my ball baby right there.
Yeah, know? I don't know. I guess you look like you know.
Yeah. Damn, fuck you. That's so
you're a terrible man. You see what that mean nigga
that's
said?
That's my dog. That's my dog. I look forward to meeting him, but I'm just saying.
I can't wait.
I'm just saying. I'm looking at him. And he got the pacifier. Okay. All right. You one of them. You to take the pacifier out the mouth, nigga. Oh. 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 Okay. And he giving it back to you. That's yeah, he tried disgusting. To
give it back to you. We pass it back.
That's disgusting. Trey, say hi.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Say hi.
Hi. Trey, say hi.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, world. Look at my teeth.
Let me see his teeth. Nah, I fuck with dude. I don't know. What the fuck was the point before this nigga started
before
doing
this
that
happened?
Shit?
Yeah. Before we were just basically saying, I was like, buffoonery as a thing was not necessarily cool in Black culture, right? Until it was. Until we were allowed to be silly on camera. Right?
I think and that we I feel always like were allowed to be silly on camera.
I mean, yeah, but whether or not we were allowed to execute it and make money right. and then go to the masses, that kind of thing. Right.
Speaking
Black
of Shay,
weirdness was not something that we could put out to the masses and expect things. There was only a vein of Blackness that was allowed. Like, right.
Speaking of Shay, right. And yeah. I'm not trying to sit up here and be on this all day, but he seems like he's kind of holding it down a little bit. So I think you could hold him for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Fucking, I don't know if you watched the interview he had with Country Wayne.
I did watch some of that. Actually, I watched some of the Country Wayne. I watched it, but really honestly, I got distracted because, you know, 21 Savage came out just recently.
That's true. That's true.
And that was, this album was pretty crazy. But
you
yeah,
got a nigga
shout out
like,
America.
You got a nigga like Country Wayne who is internet famous.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And young cat. Young nigga. So, like, you know, fresh. This is
youngish. Fresh. Like I'll say fresh before I say young.
Yeah, fresh. Because the thing is, I'll say is like the same way there was a wave of Def Comedy Jam niggas that was like, this is how we got our start. We were Def Comedy Jam. We just came to this show all the time. Right. You had the fucking Apollo niggas that came out that
the
time.
The pipeline that I came through. Which
exactly. So the pipeline like for
Instagram comedy.
Country Wayne is probably the first new comic, or excuse me, fresh comic out of the internet. That
Country Wayne, out. Jess Hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no, no. Not only. I'm not saying singular. Like, he's not the singular nigga. But, like, as far as, like, what fucking Shannon had on, he was an internet fresh nigga.
Okay.
Notice that he did a lot of talking to.
So I don't know if you watched his thing where he was talking about like how he has both the streets and the church.
Now, I did not see that, but that's a super interesting concept because like that's something that market is a very right. different.
And
very
I think that in the Black culture, our culture, whatever the fuck you want to call it, there is that distinction, right? And I think that as we progress and have other sub niches and shit, like you got Black Nerds, the whole nine, and Kevin on stage is doing the shit that he's doing right now that I'm not gonna comment on too much. But
yeah. you said the words.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my bad. I know how we feel.
Like, you might need
you got 36 and Kev on stage with a child now, but
no, you cannot eat that.
What the fuck is that?
That shit. What the fuck is what?
Oh, you was trying to get him. He was trying to eat the hat.
Yes, he was very much like, okay, now it's time to just chew this motherfucker.
He just like you, man. Damn. But anyway, and I think that as we progress and get into more like subcultures and shit like that, like outside of just church and the streets, like you got the church, the streets, the inside people, the people who got like outside through the inside, that them types of things, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, a lot of people don't fuck with me because I can do both, right?
Okay.
And I think that with him, he didn't have to put on, quote, the dress. Or, like, you know, like,
yeah, there was no, I don't think that there was a moment where Country Wayne had to find himself in an opposition where I would say, like, where he would say no to something and feel so, like, indebted or endeared or, like, endangered to say, yeah, I'll do it, right? Because he's like, I built my fan base. They came with me. Like, I'm not asking you to build. I'm not asking you to build one. I'm not asking you to do anything about my fan base. Right. They are already there. Right. Mm-hmm. We are negotiating terms of how we can, you know, how you can benefit and I can benefit from my fan base.
Okay.
True. But the thing is that whether or not like I'm here, right? The fan base is coming with me.
Right. And my fan base is invested in me exactly. beyond whatever.
So I haven't had a special yet, right? But I've got a fan base.
He's got one coming.
He had one out. Like I'm saying prior to right? when he was making it's decent. I mean, like I watched it. It's Country Wayne comedy.
It's Instagram comedy.
Exactly. Plus, so I'm not hating. I enjoyed it, but like for me, I was like, cool. Yeah, I'm not the biggest. Yeah.
What's wrong? What's he breathing so hard for?
That's just his thing. Like we sniff each other a lot. So
okay.
When he likes it, when he likes something, he's like,
I get it. I get Pops did the same thing. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Talk your shit, Trey. He's a cute motherfucker. But I don't know, with like Country Wayne or whatever, like he said that he had the streets and the thing, right? And I think that those are two totally different pipelines that are like exclusively for
You froze a bit. Okay, yeah. You said two totally different pipelines and then froze. Okay. I thought I might kick the cord.
It's like two different pipelines that are like exclusively for us.
Yeah, literally. The thing is that whether or not you came to Country Wayne via the church stuff, via the street stuff, because I mean, like personally, I'm an Instagram skit nigga. That's where I found Country Wayne, right? You know, all the wide eyed ass motherfucker, like, you gonna tell them that?
It's funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that nigga be talking about. And so so for me that was my thing.
But Uncle C, that's Uncle me. Say C. Uncle C. He's not gonna he it's Uncle C. That's a hippie.
Yeah, we use the weirdest word of that.
That's hippie. I respect it. This is Babylon, nigga. Let that shit out.
You said my teeth. They growing. And then what? Okay. Then Shannon Sharp said what, nigga?
That's not very far from what he said.
And you feel what way about Cat Williams? He's a
you got nothing to say about Cat Williams. He's scared. Yeah. Your son's scary, nigga. He's nervous to talk about upgrade. Cat.
He'll suck three fingers. Yeah, that's what we do on the mic.
D, how you doing it, man? How you doing it? How are you doing it?
This?
Yeah, how are you doing it? How you making it happen?
Nigga, he keeps waking up every day, and I'm just like, all right, nigga, we here. Like, but nah, for real, honestly, I just like whatever. What you need, nigga? What you need, I got. Okay. If I can understand it,
too. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. Really? For real? Yeah, he will put his whole fist in his mouth by the end of his
whole life. Fist. I get
his
it. No,
very
I get it.
Much so. Like this is him.
I see him. No, he wanna holler at him. Talk to him then, nigga. Talk to him.
Yeah. it sure does work, bro. It sure does.
That's a microphone.
That is indeed. Those are springs.
Okay, cool.
Everything is
in hand. Now he's getting into the mechanism. Sorry, you need to get him away from the mechanism. Hold on.
I'm going to figure this whole thing out. He goes like this. But that's the thing. It's like that's an example of putting the strings together. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I can move this bitch this way. This could come this way. Say something to the motherfucker then.
No, he's just trying to eat it.
I told you it's not delicious.
It's not
okay.
Good. It's not. It don't taste good. It probably got cat hair on it, but that's beside the point.
Is there cat hair on it?
Nah, I'm one of them niggas that don't care. Like he's a kid. He's gonna do what kids do. He's gonna do what kids do. Kids fuck with shit.
It's true. He does.
Indeed. I don't know.
I mean, I see the young nigga, and I respect you for putting him on and doing what he got to do. You know what I mean? There's a definite skin differential between you and the child.
Oh yeah, my baby is a creamsicle. Villain called this nigga a caramel frappe not long ago. I was like, you're not wrong.
No, no, he's really not wrong.
You're not wrong.
But he doing his thing. Get in the nose then. Fuck it. Get in the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the niggas that's not viewing it, like they really missing out. They seeing peak baby shit.
Pissy.
Oh
shit. Hey, y'all didn't see that. He's fine.
he's all right. All right.
Spit that out.
Indeed. I don't know. I'm happy to see you in this setting.
Yeah, this is probably the most one thing I will guarantee and say this is the happiest I've ever been in my motherfucking life. Like, I've never been happier than hanging out with this nigga every day.
Yeah, for sure. I can tell.
Yeah, I told myself, I was like, I'm gonna work from home, all this shit, because I want to be able to say, like, my child doesn't have to be like, daddy's at work.
I mean, God forbid.
Yeah,
I mean. He's gonna say it anyway, but it don't.
He's matter. Going to, but the thing is that work is gonna be a room up the way, a room up down the hall.
Indeed, right. Who you feel like he looks like for real? Like, be honest.
Oh, that's Jammin' right there. Like,
who?
That's Villain right here.
You think that's Villain?
Yeah. So like, yeah, no, definitely. They have very
similar. Point him to the thing. Let me look at him.
I was like, yeah, giant eyes, but he gets that from his mom as well. Right,
okay.
The pointed little chin. That's Johnson all day until you get fat.
I'm gonna pass you out. Let me see.
Wow.
He didn't even start crying.
Nah,
I guess it's pointed.
You do that all the time.
You can get back to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely give it back to him.
Yeah, see, we put the pass here really because he loves to suck his fingers in the first place, so he honestly does not need this. This is something for our convenience.
Like, yeah, fair.
This
fair.
Makes my life easier, not his.
It probably make it easier to wean him off of it. You know, yeah,
this is what he really likes. That's what you really like, I know.
Okay.
Did you smell when I hurt people?
Nah, he's better.
Shit. Honestly, I just try to make it happen. And for the first time ever trying to pod with this nigga around, I'm like, okay, this is the normal amount of screaming. It's like, this is part of the norm. If he had anything else to look at, he'd be fine. And honestly, if I had any of his other toys that were clean and in the general vicinity, I took him from you. He's like, that was what's in them hoes the whole time. That's crazy. Damn. All right. But all this shit to say, like, for real, I understand, right, culturally where some niggas are talking about and where they're coming from, right? But I think it is a dated, I can agree with you that it is a dated argument. It is something that, like, because of the fact that we are allowed to be black and weird and black and queer now, that is not the same, like, emasculating tip that it was back in the day. Now, if anybody tries to force you to suck a dick for a role, right, you should.
Yeah, it's totally different.
If it's outside your principles, you should definitely stay away from that situation. And you should report that motherfucker because they're a sick bastard. Now, whether or not they. Now, I mean, if they're just making a polite pass, that's different. But, like, they're making a polite pass that also.
I
mean,
I don't know. If you had the orgy and a nigga, like, would you like some wine? If you had the orgy, you walk in the room and you see it's an orgy and they're like, would you like some wine? And you're like, them niggas tried to fuck me. I was like, nobody tried to fuck me.
What do you think they do with orgies, my nigga?
You just walked in an orgy. You saw the orgy.
That's what orgy niggas do. All right?
I'm sure them niggas didn't, like, they probably didn't offer the role because it was like, I don't know. I think I weirded them out.
But yeah.
For sure. Don't confuse being invited to the orgy with, like, oh, they tried to fuck me out of a role.
Yeah, or they tried to fuck my whole career up. And it was like, hey, man, if somebody said, hey, man, will you suck my, can I suck your dick? And it's five other motherfuckers around. I don't necessarily know if that's the power gap situation we're talking about.
We're even just like, I got this role for,
Ocean. The right dick sucker.
You sucking dick or nah, I ain't gonna give you shit until you suck this dick. I'm not gonna.
All right, you weird genie. Like,
What a weird thing to offer.
All right, I'll rub your lamp to get the wishes. Like, I don't know.
Right. I guess you got to rub the lamp to get the genie wishes. It's all jokes, nigga. It's all jokes.
It's all jokes. It's all jokes. Because the thing is, again, is that never having the opportunity to break out into a place where somebody could make me that offer, but like nobody has pressed it for me. Like, I don't know if I'm just not attractive enough. Like, nobody.
Yeah, right. Nobody offered me no orgy position because they know
I'm going. Okay. Either way, yo, I think we're pretty much there. I'll leave it up in the air, right? Because the thing is that at the end of the day, I cannot get a general consensus other than like, hey, man, like, I don't think your masculinity needs to be wrapped up so like fragile that a dress in front of 100,000 million people is going to like rock it to the core. Right. Like, yeah, I think that you can bounce back just like Ring Rhames and Wesley Snipes and do a blade and do 2 or 3 blades and a couple of baby boys in order. Because, you know, I think Ving Rhames, I don't know if Ving Rhames was gay. I can't say whether or not he was. But do you remember, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played
the, chief. The police chief.
Nah, he played a fireman. He played a big, because they were all firemen.
He was a fireman.
They're all firemen. That's all the, like, which also made it a weird thing because you remember the firefighters were supposed to be gay. And I'm like,
they did a post, like a calendar too. Yeah.
Yeah. A post 9/11 movie about firefighters being gay is wild.
Crazy,
really. That's absolutely crazy.
We never say shit about Adam Sandler being
David Spade or none of them niggas. None of them motherfuckers is looking getting crazy about the fact that, you know, they can be anything they want, right, but a nigga can't be a bitch.
Dang. And I also don't think that, like, you know, I don't know. It's just inherently masculine to do the shit that niggas do to maintain roles in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Not saying that there's not a power struggle. Not saying that.
Yeah, again, power gap. But the thing is that not all of it's about the dress now. There's a new dress, right? And nowadays, I don't like the thing is trying to spot what the new dress is, right? Like, what roles are they giving a nigga?
So I was talking to somebody, and I'm not going to say who, but I was talking to somebody, and they're like, I think that dress is acting bisexual.
I can see that.
And of course, I can see that, but I also think that that's discrediting, like,
actual bisexual men and people.
Yeah, and just acknowledging that, like, you know,
it's queerness in the Black community, it exists. Yeah, you know, yeah. To like, another thing, I mean, I don't know. Is it anything to make you look non-threatening? Is it anything to make you seem less fucking more marketable? I don't know. Yeah, you know, there's a multitude of theories behind the situation, right? I didn't think we were gonna fucking get on and solve the fucking memories of whether the dress was blue or white. You know,
yeah, right,
a fucking white dress. It's a blue dress.
How are you supposed to know?
But the thing is, what I will say is this, is that, like, there are some motherfuckers that are overreacting on all sides. And some motherfuckers that have real stories about whether or not they've been, like, ousted or blacklisted because of because of, like, you know, a denial. And other motherfuckers that know that they did suck that wiener for that role.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you know, shout out to y'all all on all spectrums and shit like that. But what I, you know, I'll just tell you this, man, you know, shit, respect yourself at all times, right? You know, respect yourself at all times. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Standing your principles is perfectly fine. You don't got to eat crow anymore. You don't got to eat shit anymore. You can just turn your fucking mic on in the crib and see what happens. Now, you might find out that this shit's hard and you ain't talented. Or you can find out you're super talented and there's a billion other talented niggas just like you, right? But don't get salty and say that somebody made you suck a dick and because you failed.
I can mind that.
Yeah. Either way, that's the moral of the story, niggas. It's the well-spoken token and son. What you got? You got any words for the people?
I got nothing. It was a good episode. I think we can work with this.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. For sure. I appreciate you. I thank you guys so much. Thank you again for welcoming me back. It's the well-spoken token. We're gonna get more of these out. Shout out to y'all. Do what it do. Well, I'm out.